Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
Inauguration Day. There was two people standing side by side. There was one guy with his family and the other guy with his family. And I just want to let you know that when Trump was standing next to Obama, the guy with three kids by three different women was the white guy. Mic drop. I was reading the Bible in school the other day. I picked up this book. Let me check this out. Yo, shit is lit, fam. Shit is lit. Like, I was reading it. Like, I was scanning the Bible for, like, Easter Bunny and Christmas. And I didn't find that. But I also didn't find abortion.
There's other reasons to vote than your own selfish, fat needs.
Okay? Today, a young man on acid realized that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration. That we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. There's no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we're the imagination of ourselves.
One more time for the bigots in the back. Not my president. Instead of being cool and casting your Green Party vote and casting your third party vote, why don't you, instead of being cool, be alive? Why don't you, instead of being cool, understand the ramifications of what you've done?
Heyo! What is the word, people? Welcome back into another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. I am Jay Porks, with me, as always, on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular... Nobody! Nobody. Nobody. That was what that was. It's a word, peeps. How does every week get bigger? Alright. We're not going to do a breakdown. But what we are going to do is talk about a fundamental problem with this country. I know, we talk about fundamental problems with this country every week on my podcast. Well, let's talk about the healthcare vote, because that was the important thing. You genderphobes got distracted, and you got caught up in other conversations. I'll explain in a little while why that's detrimental to the cause. But, yeah, we had healthcare. And then we had healthcare. And then we had healthcare. And all of the votes that happened, I mean, I wonder if this regime is tired of winning. You know? You know what I'm saying? Because they don't do anything. So let's explain what happened. So, a fundamental problem is that in this country, women don't get showed, like, the not only the respect, but I'm not sure if respect is the admiration. They don't get the credit. Let's call it credit. They don't get the credit for all of the things they do. For instance, John McCain, war hero. I know. My opinion on John McCain changes by the week, but you know what? The way he votes changes by the week. He's mavericking, he's out mavericking himself. But, so the maverick. He voted no on hell on the skinny repeal, and he killed it dead in the water. Everybody, these past couple days, oh, John McCain. John McCain, he's a war hero. John McCain, he stood up against, you know, bipartisanship. And he decided that it was more important to take care, to put country over party. And, you know, that's all great and stuff, but Murkowski and Collins were solid no's the entire time. I don't think there was one plan that they were a yes to. So what happened here is that women did the heavy lifting. The women did the heavy lifting, and then the dude came in, decided to, oh wow, they paved this way for me. Let me just go that way. And then got all of the credit, all of the praise from the media went to John McCain for being such a, you know, such a hero, for single-handedly saving healthcare. Except it wasn't single-handedly, because the two women were solid no's the entire time. And they're Republicans. So what does this mean? Well, it looks like, for now, but again, listen, when they say things are dead, when they say bills are dead, I mean, you can't listen to that. You can't be like, oh, okay, it's dead. You still have to keep your eyes open. Pay attention. They might try to sneak one past you. That's what they tried to do with the skinny repeal. It was after midnight when, first of all, and there's a video at CNN you have to watch. It's a minute and 19 seconds. It has the room, right? The room of senators, and it has a couple of senators have, like, numbers on top, like, they're dotted, like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And they show you, like, as McCain is walking up, it's showing you, like, look, like, it shows Bernie Sanders is back there in his seat, and he kind of nudges, because John McCain walks up all dramatic, like, you know, like John McWayne, like, you know, I mean, so dramatic. And he held up his hand and he waved it, so the clerk's got to see him. So, like, as he's doing this, like, if you watch this video of the breakdown of the chamber, Bernie Sanders is sitting there, and whoever he's next to, he, like, nudges the girl he's next to, like, check this out. Like, I don't know if he knew. Maybe he knew by the dramatic pause that he was going to vote no. But what happened was is that Lindsey Graham, John McCain, and two other senators came out earlier in the day and they were like, listen, we'll vote yes for this, but we're not going to vote yes for this if it doesn't go to conference. So basically they said that they were going to vote on a bill that they know that was dead. That's what they were going to do in order to get it to conference behind closed doors and write amendments with only Republicans and stuff like that. Okay, that's, they said, okay, so we'll vote on this, but you have to give us assurance that this is going to go to conference. Now, I'm watching this press conference because it broke into Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. So I'm watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, Paul Ryan could say it's going to conference, but that doesn't stop asshole from taking the bill and signing it. You know? So what's stopping it? So, obviously, Lindsey Graham and those two other senators believed that there was going to be a conference. John McCain, not so much. Because Paul Ryan said he would like to hold a conference. Or something along the lines of, it would be good. But he didn't say we're going to do. Big difference. Huge difference. So shout out to Murkowski, shout out to Collins, and yeah, a reluctant shout out to McCain too. Healthcare still exists for now. Let's talk about the head fake. You guys got. All right. So, just so you guys know for the future, policy can't be changed on Twitter. So, don't react like you did again. You almost cost us healthcare. That's what you did. You almost got everyone's feathers in a bunch over that, and you almost cost us healthcare with that. Because they were going to slip something by us. You got distracted. Now, in case you don't know, the regime, the dick, Tater, Tot, fan of water sports, he was tweeting the other day, so dramatic, you know? I mean, from here on out, the United States will no longer accept dot, dot, dot. And, you know, that was the end of the tweet. Dude, can you get, like, tweet longer or something? There's apps. There's apps for that. If you link up your Facebook and your Twitter, you can post a long message on Facebook and tweet it, and they can click and get the rest of it on Twitter. But, and then it said transgender into the military. So the genderphobes got all crazy earlier this week. Oh, well, Jay, if you want to be gay, that's one thing, and I don't have a problem with people being gay, but I have a problem with people, you know, they're sick. They're sick. They're changing the way they are. They're doing this. They're doing that. Pause. Pause. Do you see what happened there? Do you see how transgender people not being allowed in the military turned into a conversation on whether you think transgender things are valid or not? First of all, that's not a conversation. It's not a conversation because here's the thing that exists in this world. There are transgender people. So, you're going to have a choice to make. You're either going to accept a world where there's transgender people and accept them for who they are because they're not trying to make you a transgender person or trying to make you into something you don't want to be. They're not trying to make you do anything you don't want to do. So you're going to have to either accept that there are people in this world that are different from you or you can, you know, look into ways to end your life. I mean, I don't mean to sound mean, but like if that's not something you want to put up with in the quote-unquote land of the free, then go somewhere else. People always telling me to leave the country. How about you take your tolerance, your intolerance, and you take it somewhere else? Because it's disgusting. Oh, well, they have sick problems. And first of all, let me just shout out my friend Shannon, Shandog. Old friend of mine. Not old like she's old, but like I've known her for a long time. She was shutting down everybody who commented on her freaking Facebook post, and I was so happy about it. That's like the one friend I have who's like not a dick. So shout out to Shannon. Keep doing what you're doing. Her mom was in the service, so when people are like, oh, you can't do this, she's like, no, that's not the case at all. That's not how it is. So the thing was, first of all, the Joint Chiefs have came out and said there's no change in policy until until the Pentagon is informed. You know, there is like, there's, least of all, there's paperwork to be done when policy is changed. You can't just tweet it. File paperwork and stuff. That's all the stuff you have to do. Motions. There are people in, you know, out in the Middle East or whatever right now, wherever, I don't know where they are. I'm not pretending that I know where the people are. But there are troops abroad. Transgender. You know? What, are they going to come home? Let me ask you a question. Do you want to go? I don't want to go. My friend Nicole was telling me she wants to join the Coast Guard the other day. We're 30. Well, I don't think they take us. But I mean, do you want to go fight? I don't want to go fight. If somebody, first of all, transgender people are pretty brave because, you know, they have to walk around taking crap from you their entire life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the genderphobes out there are crazy. It turned into a conversation, like, the conversation of whether transgender people should be in the military turned into a conversation of whether transgender people should be a thing. That's exactly where the regime wanted the conversation to go. And that's exactly the reason why you can't follow this asshat on Twitter. Don't retweet him. Don't do any of that. You're just feeding in to the nonsense, the distraction machine. Because that's what it is. It's a machine of distraction. And like, so a thing, they were talking about the cost of transgender people in the military. First of all, if you're going to the army, military, armed forces, if you're joining the armed forces, and I don't believe that this is true, so please don't think that I think that this is true, but some people say, I don't want the government paying for their surgery to transition. Wait a second. You think that people are trapped inside, like, you think a man is entrapped inside a woman's body, and he or she walks around like that their entire life, afraid, fighting stigmas, dealing with genderphobes, Republicans, hate mongers, people that don't like different people. And you think that's not brave? And you think this person can't go to another country and kill brown people? I mean, because that's all it is. That person can't join the Hired Assassins Club? I don't understand it. Can't join the rape and pillage, you know, the rape and pillage army? Well, I don't understand. I don't think that somebody is using... I don't think people are joining the military. Oh, I'm going to join the military, and then I'm going to get my dick turned inside out. I don't think... No, tell me. This might be the same where everybody on welfare has Jordans. This might be one of those. It might be one of those things where I just don't understand it. Like, you know, everybody goes to welfare, they get on welfare, they get on public assistance, and then they go and they buy Jordans and iPhones. I mean, I don't know. Every single one. Remember, every single one. It's not an anomaly. It's everybody that does that. I don't know. I don't think people are doing that. Where's Chelsea Manning? What's Chelsea Manning have to say about this? Again, it's a big thing to stress that the Joint Chiefs came out and said that there is no change in the policy because policy is not dictated on Twitter. Also, you have to have like a meeting. You have to talk to somebody. So what did that tweet do? Now you ask yourself, what was the tweet meant to do? It was meant to distract you from healthcare. But you know who it didn't distract? Chairman of the Armed Services Committee, John McCain, who was paying attention to the wise women in his caucus. Do they call it a caucus? The whole Senate's the caucus, right? Who was paying attention to Lisa Murkowski and Suzanne Collins and decided to stab the dagger into the heart that was the Republican healthcare reform plan. Here's the thing. You guys had 7 years. 7 years to come up with something that seems like it's a good idea. Couldn't get it done. And the whole... And when they go to do tax reform and the budget, like the budget has numbers based on healthcare that didn't get passed. Tax reform is going to have to, there's some medical taxes that they need to reform that they were hoping that they wouldn't, you know, that they thought that this would be done with. Reince Priebus is out. Man. Reince Priebus. The guy that Trump hated from, like, midway through the campaign. I can't believe he lasted this long. And he wasn't like Spicer, who was hiding for 2 months. You know? Reince Priebus, chief of staff. I mean, listen. The mooch is here. The mooch is the chief of staff. You saw the mooch. You see him in action. Reports directly to the president. I report directly to the president. Yeah, I bet you do. You look like you report directly to the president. But, so, last week I mentioned Scaramucci was doing all these things that a chief of staff would do. Yeah. I mean, the writing was on the wall for Priebus. And then he called Priebus a schizophrenic, what was it? Psychopath? And then he said that unlike Steve Bannon, he's not trying to suck his own cock. I mean, yeah. It's kind of a weird thing to say. But, you know, mooch gonna mooch, right? The mooch is gonna mooch. He's getting divorced from his wife. Because, you know, his wife's like, dude, are you kidding me? I mean, I didn't see, like, the divorce papers, but I'm pretty sure, like, one of the lines was like, dude, are you kidding me? Really? I'm sure one of the lines was like, bruh, you know? Bruh. Bruh. Okay, let's move on for a second here. So, like, not even the Boy Scouts, not even that speech. But the speech in Long Island, was it Long Island? First of all, he must have seen New York City mayoral polls, because much to my surprise, de Blasio's way out in front. And that might just be because there's four candidates. But the Jay Parks podcast thinks that Bo Dietl is going to be the new mayor of New York City because Bo Dietl is a former cop who Reagan likes, and Reagan liked. Reagan's dead. It's one good thing with this country. Let's go to de Blasio. But, Trump was taking shots at de Blasio because, you know, he, like, thinks police should be roughing up suspects. And no, I'm not paraphrasing, and no, I'm not saying what, you know, I think he meant. This is what the guy said. He said, the cops should stop being so easy on criminals. These are cops, not all cops. Renee, I love you, okay? Renee, you're my best friend. Not my best friend, but you are one of my best friends. You are a cop, and this is not about you. So, please don't hate me, and I don't hate your friends either. But there are cops on TV. There are cops. When you see the news and cops are killing people, I mean, that's not rough enough? This guy says that, you know, they murdered... First of all, he's doing a Jerry Seinfeld joke up at the podium. Because Jerry Seinfeld used to say that... Where is it? I'm going to find it right now on YouTube. Of course, it's not on YouTube. I can't find the clip. But anyway, Jerry Seinfeld has a joke where he's like, why do we have to lower... when criminals get arrested, why are we like, watch your head? Trump did the same thing. He said, oh, they killed somebody, watch your head. Don't worry about the watching head. Again, can't change policy from a speech, from a tweet. And how do you encourage the police to be more brutal than they are? I mean, listen, I know that there are great cops out there. So stop looking at me like that. Stop Ruth Bader Ginsburging me. You're judging me, and you think that I hate cops. I don't. Just because I'm not putting a red ribbon on my tree outside my house. Okay? I support the police. And I'll show you my check to prove that I support the police. And I'll show you my check to show you that really wasn't a choice that I had to support the police. When you pay when tax dollars pay for something, you support them. Everybody supports the police. Cops hate de Blasio, why? Because he doesn't want cops to rough up the young urban kids? I'm sorry. Because he wants cops to get prosecuted sometimes? Meanwhile, they never do. All the cops are turning their back on de Blasio at the funeral? That's nice, guys. That's good. When he gets reelected by a landslide, and you guys are, you know, and you gotta answer to him, it's not gonna be so nice. You're not gonna like it. I'm sorry. All the de Blasio hate... This guy is he's trying to resist Trump. He's doing all things good. He went to Germany. I don't care. Now, I'm like, oh, he went to Germany instead of going to the cop's funeral. That's not what happened. The cop's funeral was on like a Tuesday. He went to Germany on like a Saturday. Second of all, the G20, I want my mayor there. Was Jerry Brown there? Okay. Jerry Brown might be the governor. But still, I want everybody to just do what Jerry Brown does. And that's it. And if you do what Jerry Brown does, it'll work out. I like that my mayor went to the G20 to say, listen, I know America's in a clown car right now, but I'm just letting you know that the garage is owned by some nice people and we're going to take care of it. For the life of me, I don't understand. First of all, the mayor, like, if you have somebody on your block who's the mayor, what do? They don't do anything. They just go around talking to people. That's what the mayor does. The mayor doesn't actually do stuff. The mayor just goes around talking to people. If he gets lucky, he gets to tell the governor something. But the governor's not listening. Cuomo hates de Blasio. Because Cuomo's not a real Democrat. Cuomo is one of these centralist, middle, progressive Democrats who's really who'd be a Republican 20 years ago. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it at all. So when people are saying, oh, Cuomo would be a good candidate for 2020, you need to stop that right now. His wife has money in big alcohol. We're the only state that has medical marijuana that you can't smoke at all. We're not even looking at recreational. A thing that makes money. We're not even looking at it. Because Cuomo's a piece of garbage. They'd rather talk about building a wheel. They're building a wheel at the ferry on Staten Island. They were building outlets and stuff, but the stores pulled out. They think people are going to do that. They think people are going to come from Manhattan. From, like, you know, where there's Times Square and the Empire State Building, Pier, whatever, all these attractions. They think they're going to look across the water and say, oh, wow, I got to check out Staten Island, go to that wheel. It's not what they're going to do. So the gentrification of the North Shore of Staten Island, it's not for anybody else but the people that live here, because this island is where cops live, and they want it to be nice. They don't want it to be like the other five boroughs. They want it to be like Jersey. They don't want to see colored people. They only want to see white people. They see colored people in a neighborhood. They think they have to put high-rises up in that neighborhood to get the colored people out. Because they're racist. Because they don't know anything that isn't hate. That's where I live. In all seriousness, how do you tell cops who kill people all the time to be more rough? And the Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, I think that's what it is. They can't deport, like, they don't catch people and then bring them to a plane and deport them. That's not how it works. We have to keep them somewhere. What do you call these places you keep them? Are they summer camps? They're not summer camps. Are they space camps? No, they're not space camps. Are they sleepaway camps? Sort of. They're called detainment camps. There's lots of concentrating going on at these camps. And that's what's going to happen. And they're going to start building them. And they have to put immigrants there as they wait trial. As the ACLU sues. This is a whole cluster. Manafort gave his notes to the Senate committee. I definitely believe Manafort's notes. Said no one ever who believed in democracy. Because, you know, the guy that got paid $17 million from the Ukrainian government is definitely somebody who's telling the truth about Russia meddling in our elections. But there's a lot of layers to the Russia thing, so I have Keith Olbermann who's going to tell you. I have a clip from Keith Olbermann that I'm going to play. You're probably wondering, hey, you play all these clips. They're on YouTube, so I'm assuming I'm allowed to play them. Just like people are allowed to take my videos when I put them on YouTube and they don't have to credit me. Well, Keith Olbermann's doing this thing on the GQ YouTube channel called The Resistance, and he's got videos. I think he's up to 100 videos now. And just laying out bare bones truth. And we're going to play this one right now. I'll play it. Then I'll come back with the IDs when we come back after this.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. Do not be distracted by the latest noise. The earth-shattering news here remains the revelation of how the now ex-Russian ambassador to this country, Sergei Kislyak, was reportedly intercepted by intelligence agencies while updating his Kremlin masters about his two meetings with the then-Trump campaign senior advisor, Jeff Sessions. It is case closed for the Trump campaign's attempt to collude, conspire, collaborate with the Russians to illegally interfere with this country's 2016 presidential election. For a year or more, the facts and the reported facts about Trump and Russia have cascaded down upon us like dust from the topmost bookshelf in the oldest of libraries. As always, creating one timeline of all the seemingly separate random events clarifies the truth in the cascade of dust wonderfully. April 27, 2016, the Russian ambassador, Kislyak, attends Trump's first major foreign policy speech at the Mayflower Hotel in Washington. Trump and Kislyak meet, perhaps briefly, perhaps privately. Sessions will later say he does not recall meeting Kislyak at all. The new report in the Washington Post has Kislyak telling the Kremlin he and Sessions, quote, discussed campaign-related matters, including policy issues important to Moscow. June 3rd, 2016, per his own email chain, Trump Jr. is offered a meeting at which he will be given, quote, very high-level and sensitive information that would incriminate Hillary as part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump. June 7th, 2016, Trump Jr. confirms that meeting, and 3 hours later, Trump himself promises a speech the following week about Hillary Clinton's, quote, corrupt dealings with the Russians. June 9th, 2016, Trump Jr., Manafort, and Kushner meet with the Russians at Trump Tower, and 10 to 20 minutes after the meeting ends, Trump tweets disparagingly about Clinton's emails, and he uses the number 33,000 for the first time. June 15th, 2016, the hacker Guccifer 2.0 posts documents hacked from the computers of the Democratic National Committee. July 7th, 2016, Trump foreign policy advisor Carter Page travels to Moscow, ostensibly to give a speech to a Russian economics institute, broadly criticizing U.S. foreign policy. He will later be investigated on an accusation of meeting with the Russian leader in charge of monitoring and meddling with the American election. July 18, 2016, during the Republican National Convention, Ambassador Kislyak meets with Carter Page and Jeff Sessions. And in the new report, Kislyak informed, quote, his superiors in Moscow who were eager for updates about the candidates' positions. July 27, 2016, at the last press conference of his presidential campaign, Trump urges Russia to find Clinton's emails. September 8, 2016, Jeff Sessions meets with Ambassador Kislyak in Sessions' own Senate office. Even in the latest report, the intelligence sources will not reveal what, if anything, they have learned of Kislyak's message to the Kremlin about this, his third meeting with Sessions. October 7, 2016, with Trump operative Roger Stone having repeatedly boasted of contact with Guccifer 2.0 and Julian Assange, and then tweeted about Clinton's campaign chairman, it will soon be Podesta's time in the barrel, and tweeted about Assange, and tweeted about payload coming, WikiLeaks begins to publish 20,000 pages of emails stolen from Podesta's computer. December 1st or 2nd, 2016, Kislyak goes to Trump Tower, meets with Kushner and incoming National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Kushner now admits to this meeting, and Kushner proposes using Russian embassies, consulates, or other Russian intelligence-controlled communication systems to allow the Trump transition team to talk directly to Moscow without Americans knowing about it. January 10th, 2017, at his confirmation hearing, Sessions testified under oath before the Senate, quote, I didn't have, did not have communications with the Russians. May 10th, 2017, Trump in the Oval Office reportedly reveals classified intelligence, later reported to be Israeli penetration of ISIS, to the Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov, to Ambassador Kislyak, with a Russian photographer present. June 13th, 2017, Sessions testifies to the Senate and again denies he met with Kislyak at the Mayflower Hotel, says he does not even remember any brief interaction with him. July 7th, 2017, Trump meets Vladimir Putin with no other American official present for a private meeting initially undisclosed at the G20 summit in Germany. July 8th, 2017, Trump Jr. issues a statement claiming his Russian meeting was about adoptions. It is later reported the statement was written by White House staff and approved by Trump. July 22nd, 2017, Trump matter-of-factly claims that he has the complete power to pardon. Presumably, he has been informed that he can only pardon someone who is guilty of a crime. July 24th, 2017, Kushner issues prepared remarks before his appearance to the Senate Intelligence Committee. He admits to attending Junior's meeting with the Russians and to setting up a back channel to talk to the Kremlin in December, while insisting the back channel was not a back channel. The possible innocent explanations of any individual link in this damnable chain have long since evaporated. We have in the White House a president who, if he is not an agent of the Russian government, might as well be one. Get him out while we still have the mechanisms with which to do so. Resist. Remove. Peace.
Keith,
the resistance. Last week, you might have listened to the podcast last week. That was before Failure Friday happened. You might have listened to the podcast last week and heard me. Then I played Keith Olbermann, and then I said I was going to play him, and then I pretended to come back. I mixed up the audio there. I mixed up the parts. But it's fine. I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but I mean, it could have been worse. I didn't notice it till like Thursday. I didn't notice it till the fourth time I was listening to my podcast. But yeah. So Keith lays it all out. That's a timeline. So I don't know what else you people need. But change needs to happen. And please. The country, democracy, and the free world is depending on a handful of reasonable Republicans. And that is a scary, scary thing. All right, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to Dirty Jersey. But before I do, let me give you the list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business. First of all, there is ConcertConfessions.com. That's where you are going to get all your live music, news, interviews for the fans, by the fans. ChristinaRocks.com. Hang the DJ every Sunday morning at ChristinaRocks.com. She's throwing it at you. Old school alternative, kicking it old school. She's on Mixler. She's got a Spotify playlist that goes along with it. She has an open invitation to come on the podcast whenever she wants, but I'm always going down to Dirty Jersey and don't have time to have her on. And since, you know, jobs and stuff, I'm the only one who's off in the summer. All my friends work. And of course, every week, the flagship show, the Andy Dare Show. Where do you get that? You get that at andydare.com, where you're going to get all your Dare Network podcasting needs. Also, you can get Jesse Unplugged and the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Porks podcast can be found at andydare.com. And every week, the headlines, they be powered by Antiquiet. Antiquiet.com is your source for quality. Till next week, folks. Wacky Weed, Warren Zevon, call your senators. Keep on them. Resist. Late.
This has been the Jay Porks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.